This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. A very eventful 2010 is nearly over. But before we begin the new year, let's take a little bit of time to remember those famous names, faces, and personalities who left us in the past 12 months. We'll do this in a number of stages, but in our first segment, we want to focus on those figures who came from the arenas of politics, sports, the media, and business.
And it points the way out. Out! Out of the Civil War in Iraq.
The longest-serving senator in American history died this year. Robert Byrd came to Congress in 1952 and was elected to the Senate in 1958. Originally a segregationist, Byrd later became known to his friends as the conscience of the Senate and to his adversaries as one of the biggest pork barrel spenders in Congress, directing much money back to his native West Virginia. Byrd died in June at age 92.
I really believe that I have not done anything that is wrong in the process of my official activities.
The longest-serving Senate Republican also died this year. Alaska's Ted Stevens was killed in a plane crash in August. He served in the Senate for 40 years and, like Byrd, was best known for bringing home the bacon, including the infamous Bridge to Nowhere. Stevens was also convicted on corruption charges in 2008, although later acquitted. Ted Stevens was 86.
We're the people that decide whether you go to war. We're the people that decide whether the war should be funded. Now, when they keep making mistakes, as they've made, we have to intercede.
For many years, Pennsylvania Congressman John Murtha was quietly known for his pork barrel spending, too. But in his final years in Congress, he became one of the loudest and most controversial critics of the Iraq War. Murtha died from surgical complications in February at the age of 77. Former Texas Congressman Charlie Wilson was known for his freewheeling lifestyle and his efforts to fund the freedom fighters in Afghanistan against their Soviet invaders. The subject of a recent film bearing his name, Wilson also died in February at age 76. As the longtime chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Dan Rostenkowski was one of the most powerful men in Washington. And yes, another lawmaker directing federal largesse back to his state and congressional district. Rosty later spent time in prison as a result of the House post office scandal in the early 1990s. Rostenkowski was 82 when he died in August. One of America's most accomplished public servants in recent decades was Alexander Haig. Rising to the rank of general before entering politics, Haig served as Richard Nixon's chief of staff and later as Ronald Reagan's secretary of state. Briefly a presidential candidate in 1988, Al Haig died in February at the age of 85. Two other former cabinet secretaries died this year. William Saxby served Presidents Nixon and Ford as Attorney General. He died in August at age 94. Robert Mosbacher, who was Commerce Secretary for the first President Bush, was 72 when he died in January.
We must help them win. And by win, I mean stabilize the government in Pakistan and give the Afghans the capacity to defend themselves.
Richard Holbrooke was a top-flight American diplomat for more than 40 years. Best known for brokering the Dayton Accords to stop the ethnic cleansing in Bosnia in the mid-1990s, Holbrooke also served as ambassador to the United Nations for President Clinton. Most recently, he acted as President Obama's chief envoy to Afghanistan and Pakistan. He died suddenly in early December from a ruptured aorta at the age of 69.
Two choices here. I mean, either you push forward with the things that you were doing yesterday, or you start dying. That seems to me your only two choices.
Elizabeth Edwards first came onto the political scene when her husband ran for president and then vice president in 2004. Her courageous fight against breast cancer also endured a 2008 campaign and the tabloid stories about the extramarital affair and love child of John Edwards. Elizabeth Edwards was 61. Another longtime political player was Ted Sorensen. Best known as a speechwriter for John F. Kennedy and as a confidant to the entire Kennedy family, Sorensen was 82 when he died in October. As for those who cover the politicians, the media lost some famous names as well this year. Edwin Newman was a pioneer in television news and was a presence in American homes from the rise of TV news through the dawn of cable. Newman was 91. Daniel Schorr was a Washington fixture for decades as well. Most recently a correspondent and commentator for NPR, Schorr was 93 when he died in July. Conservative columnists are not a rare commodity these days, but one of the trailblazers in that arena was James J. Kilpatrick. Prominent in print, and for his regular appearances on 60 Minutes, Kilpatrick died in August at the age of 89. New York-based sports writer Maury Allen also left us this year. He was 78. The sports world itself suffered the loss of many prominent figures in 2010. The Wizard of Westwood took his final bow this year. John Wooden, who coached UCLA's men's basketball team to 10 national titles in 12 years and is considered by many to be the greatest college hoops coach of all time, was just 4 months shy of his 100th birthday when he died in June. Other basketball names who passed away this year include Manute Bol, one of the tallest players in NBA history. He was 47. Maurice Lucas was a fierce interior player in the 1970s and 80s. He was just 58 years old. Baseball suffered the loss of many recognizable names in 2010, starting with the boss. George Steinbrenner ruled the New York Yankees with an iron fist and an open checkbook, and he hauled in 7 World Series wins during his reign as a result. Steinbrenner was 80 years old when he died of a heart attack in July. One of the Yankee managers to bring home a title before the Steinbrenner era was Ralph Houk. A skipper for multiple teams and a successful career, Houk was 90. Predating both Steinbrenner and Houk at Yankee Stadium was public address announcer Bob Shepard. A fixture in the Bronx since 1951, Shepard was 99 when he died in July. Sparky Anderson was one of the most successful managers in Major League history, guiding the Big Red Machine in Cincinnati to back-to-back titles in 1975 and 76. In 1984, he led a thoroughly dominant Detroit Tigers team to a championship. Anderson died of complications from dementia in November. He was 76 years old.
There's a breaking ball in for a strike, and he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by. Struck him out.
It was an especially sad year for baseball fans in the Motor City. In addition to losing Sparky Anderson, their beloved longtime announcer Ernie Harwell died of cancer at age 92. Harwell was also doing the television broadcast of one of the most famous games in baseball history many years before he came to Detroit. But it was the radio call of the 1951 National League playoff between the Giants and Dodgers that would become legendary.
Back to throw. There's a left side. It's going to be, I believe. The Giants from the pellet. The Giants from the pellet. The Giants from the pellet.
Bobby Thompson of the Giants capped a ferocious comeback with his home run that put his team into the World Series that year. The home run is still known as the shot heard round the world. Bob Feller was a dominant force on the pitcher's mound and an American hero in service to his country. Feller won 266 games for the Cleveland Indians and boasted one of the most powerful fastballs in history, all while missing 4 years in the prime of his career. In December 1941, Feller became the first major leaguer to sign up for military service following the attacks at Pearl Harbor. Feller died of cancer in December at the age of 92. In the National League, one of the most feared power pitchers of the 50s and 60s was Robin Roberts of the Phillies. Known for strikeouts as well as giving up his fair share of long balls, Roberts died in May. He was 83. One of the most beloved Cubs players and broadcasters was Ron Santo. A frequent All-Star third baseman who narrowly missed out on the Hall of Fame, Santo called Cubs games on radio for nearly 20 years. He succumbed to cancer after many years of health problems. Ron Santo was 70. Sometimes Jose Lima was dominant, and sometimes he had no control whatsoever. A veteran of the Astros and Royals, among other teams, Lima was just 37 when he died in May. In the football world, Merlin Olsen was one of the most dominant defensive tackles in NFL history as a member of the fearsome foursome of the Los Angeles Rams in the 1960s and 70s. Later, he made a successful transition to television on two fronts as NBC's number one NFL color commentator and as an actor on programs like Little House on the Prairie, as well as Father Murphy. No one played more NFL seasons than George Blanda. A great quarterback for the Bears and Oilers, Blanda became a legend for leading the Oakland Raiders to multiple improbable comeback wins well into his 40s. Playing until he was almost 50 years old, Blanda died in September at the age of 83. One of Blanda's best teammates was the hard-hitting Jack Tatum. As one of the most feared defensive backs of all time, Tatum instilled fear in opposing receivers and was also involved in the much-debated immaculate reception play against Pittsburgh. Jack Tatum was 61. Dandy Don Meredith was a free spirit who helped to bring the Dallas Cowboys into the upper crust of NFL teams. Meredith's teams reached the NFL title game twice. After retirement, he gained even more fame as part of the Monday Night Football announcing crew. Don Meredith died in December at age 72. The San Diego Chargers of the late 1970s and early 80s had one of the most potent offenses football has ever seen. Known as Air Coryell, the pass-happy scheme was the brainchild of head coach Don Coryell. Also a successful coach with the St. Louis Cardinals, Coryell was 85 when he died in July. One of hockey's most famous enforcers was Bob Probert. Known more for his brawling than anything else during his years with the Detroit Red Wings and a few other teams, Probert died in July at the age of 45. One of cycling's greatest champions also died in 2010. Two-time Tour de France winner Laurent Fignon was 50. And the man who ruled the International Olympic Committee for many years but was also linked to the bribery scandal that rocked the Games in the past decade passed away this year. Juan Antonio Samaranch was 89 years old. In the business world, the founder of one of the nation's most successful fast food franchises died this year. Glenn Bell Jr., the creator of Taco Bell, was 86. That's a look at a number of the famous faces from politics, the media, business, and sports that left us in the year 2010. Be sure to look for our tribute to those we lost in the realms of television, the movies, books, music, and more here at Radio America and WorldNet Daily. I'm Greg Corumbus.